The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Triple P Podcast, where we picture the past and present of popular movies made by well-known directors. In this series, I will be breaking down if us humans have changed as a whole when it comes to producing specific movie genres. I'm your host, DJ Fig, and let's get rolling. How's it going, guys? Welcome to episode 4 of the Triple P Podcast, where we picture the past and present of popular films in similarity. Today, the movie genre we will be discussing is, drumroll please, superhero movies. You may ask, what are superhero movies? Well, I'll be discussing it soon, so stay tuned. Firstly, what are superhero movies? According to Wikipedia, the definition of a superhero film is that it is a film that focuses on the action of superheroes. Superheroes are individuals who usually possess extraordinary, generally superhuman, abilities and are dedicated to protecting the public. Most of these superhero films usually have a movie essence of action, fantasy, adventure, or science fiction. If you don't know anything about superheroes, some well-known examples of them include Iron Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Captain America, and many more. Moving on, growing up, I enjoyed superhero movies, and to be honest, I can confidently say that it is probably my most favorite movie genre. So another good question people tend to ask is, what makes a superhero movie essentially good? Well, I'll be discussing important factors in what makes a good superhero movie. The first factor being is that the superheroes cannot be perfect. What I mean by this is that superheroes are going to have their superpowers. They're going to be incredibly attractive and fit. They're going to be Bill Gates / Mark Zuckerberg levels of wealthy and intelligent, and sometimes they will be literally gods. But regardless of those things, superheroes need flaws that everyday people have, so there is no disconnect with the audience. I find it hard to root for a near-perfect hero, but give that same hero some real human imperfections, then maybe the audience would see themselves in the hero, and therefore actually care about that hero. Some examples of a superhero who have human imperfections would be Iron Man, also known as Tony Stark. Although Tony Stark is the guy in the flashy Iron Man suit, he's egotistical, he struggles to express his emotions, and he always pretends to look strong even if he feels hopeless. Another example of this would be Spider-Man, also known as Peter Parker. Although Peter Parker is our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, he's bullied, he's in love with a girl from school, and he must cope with losing his only father figure. These superheroes can't be perfect, and if they were perfect, who would care? The second factor would be the villain. I think the villain has to be memorable. It is essential if the villain isn't evil for the sake of being evil. The villain needs depth to their character and must be consistent in their own moral code and beliefs. There's a scene that I remember from watching The Dark Knight where the villain Joker had a ton of cash stocked up in a safe. Most evil villains would keep that money, but he put it on fire because the Joker couldn't care less to get rich, but to create chaos in Gotham City. A villain that 100% invested in their views and send their ways allows the audience to objectively agree or disagree with them. The third factor in what makes a good superhero movie good would be mindless and impersonal action scenes should be kept to a minimum. What I mean by mindless action scenes is an action sequence that does not move the plot forward, but instead is only there because nothing exciting has happened in a while. Let me explain further. Take this. Let's say you are watching a professional boxing match. There's a real consequence. Both of the fighters risk being seriously hurt, and there's always a clear winner by the end of the fight. Those consequences is what keeps the spectators on the edge of their seats and invested. A lot of superhero films are based on comics from the past, so the fourth and final factor in what makes a good superhero film would be in the way the producers and movies writers write and display the superheroes onto the film. I think it's important that these movie writers stay somewhat true to the source material, such as the comics. Since now that I've talked about what makes a superhero movie well produced, I will now be discussing which movie from the past and the present we will be reviewing and comparing. So, drumroll please, I will be reviewing Batman. I will be comparing and contrasting the original Batman movie from 1989 to the recently new made Batman from March of this year, 2022. Alright, let's review the 1989 version of Batman. You know how this podcast rolls. I will be giving a quick synopsis of the 1989 Batman before I go in depth in my review. So here's the synopsis. Having witnessed his parents' brutal murder as a child, millionaire philanthropist Bruce Wayne fights crime in Gotham City, disguised as Batman, a costumed hero who strikes fear into the heart of villains. But when a deformed madman who calls himself the Joker sees control of Gotham's criminal underworld, Batman must face his most ruthless nemesis ever while protecting both his identity and his love interest, reporter Vicki Vale. Alright, let's go into the in-depth production of the movie. Firstly, Batman was directed by Tim Burton. Before production of the film started to begin, Tim Burton was pressured into figuring out and casting the role of Batman. Some of the popular actors that were supposed to be chosen for Batman included Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner, Charlie Sheen, Tom Selleck, Bill Murray, Harrison Ford, and Dennis Quaid. However, with all these actors being wanted to be chosen, Warner Bros., the company that hired Tim Burton to produce this movie, pressured Tim Burton to cast Pierce Brosnan, but Tim Burton didn't want that. With all this, Tim Burton decided to cast Michael Keaton, and initially, after the word broke out to the world, nearly 50,000 protest letters were made towards the Warner Bros. Offices questioning the casting of Michael Keaton. Most of these letters were made by diehard comic book fans because they felt like Michael Keaton did not fill the role of Batman entirely. Moving on, most filming occurred in the backlot of Warner Bros. Studio in Burbank, California. Some scenes, however, were filmed in Pinewood Studios in England from October 10, 1988 to February 14, 1989. What I also found interesting in researching more in the production was that they increased their budget from $30 million to $48 million. I forgot to mention that there were 18 sound stages were used, and Warner Bros. Create a 51-acre backlot in order to make Gotham City, home of Batman. This 51-acre backlot resulted in one of the biggest studios ever created at the time. Moving on, having released on June 22, 1989, Batman grossed nearly $40 million during its opening weekend, which broke the record of most grossed in its first weekend of release. Adding on, Batman was the fastest film to earn $100 million, which was in 11 days. Adding it all up, Batman earned a final total gross of $411.35 million throughout the world, making it the most successful movie created based on a DC comic. Alright, let's go to my honest review of this film. After watching most Batmans in my life, I would say it was a different kind of Batman we had. I found it interesting how Michael Keaton played this Batman, as he was a comedic actor. But I got to see his dark side, which is really cool. I thought he was casted really well for Batman, as he didn't really talk a lot when he was in the suit. He was just walking around like, "I'm Batman." That's how he said it. Something good, and I kind of saw it as bad, would be that after watching this movie, we were more focused on the origin story of the main villain, Joker, rather than Batman, which is supposed to be the superhero, as we went over his origin story pretty fast in the movie. I saw it as a good thing, however, because I really wanted to see the character development of Joker. Adding on to Joker, I loved the actor who played him, Jack Nicholson. I felt that Jack Nicholson did really awesome. There was a scene during the movie where he fries this guy with an electric ring, and you can totally see the pure evilness and madman coming out of him. In conclusion, I still think Batman is a very good movie. It has a cool villain played by a really good actor, who I will say was perfectly casted. Now that I've talked about the 1989 version, let's talk about the most recent Batman, Batman 2022. You know the drill, once again, since this is a really recent movie, I'm going to try not to spoil the movie throughout my review, but I will be giving a quick synopsis of it real quick, so spoiler alert! Alright, now that I've talked about the 1989 version, let's now talk about the most recent Batman. You know the drill once again, since this is a really recent movie. I'm gonna try not to spoil the movie throughout my review, but I will be giving a quick synopsis of it real quick, so it may be a spoiler alert. Here's a synopsis. When the Riddler, a sadistic serial killer, begins murdering key political figures in Gotham, Batman is forced to investigate the city's hidden corruption and question his family's involvement. Alright, now let's go to my honest reviews after watching this movie last week. So I watched this movie in my local theater last week and I thought that it was pretty good. As I was watching this film, I also observed the audience and how they reacted to things. And they seemed to be really enjoying the movie since we haven't seen a Batman movie since 2016. There's something very cool at the end that a lot of fans of Batman would really enjoy watching. But I don't want to spoil it to you guys, so you're gonna have to find out yourself by watching this great movie. I thought the villains, Riddler and Penguin, were pretty good, but you will again have to watch the movie to see what I mean by that. I enjoyed watching the new Batman, the actor being Robert Pattinson, and there's nothing really else I could say about it until I start comparing both films. And in the end, the film did not disappoint me at all. Did not disappoint me and the audience in my movie theater, and the scenes including special effects and action scenes were pretty good. What also caught my attention was how long this movie was. This movie was nearly 3 hours, but it didn't feel like 3 hours. The movie was that good, it didn't feel like 3 hours, so it wasn't boring. Okay, on to the in-depth production. In May 2019, Robert Pattinson was casted to become the new Batman. Originally, the Batman was supposed to be Ben Affleck because he was the Batman the past 7 years, but the producers decided to release him due to Ben Affleck dealing with things in his life. Moving on, filming took place in all over Europe, such as Liverpool and Scotland. However, when COVID occurred, which was 2 months after they started filming, it was shut down until September of that year, which was a 7-month break for the entire crew. As for box offices, Batman grosses a worldwide total of $479 million, which is really good. Alright, I'm going to compare and contrast both these films now and start off with the Rotten Tomatoes. Last episodes, I don't think I've explained what they really are, but I didn't really define what a good score is. In the scores, the Rotten Tomato scores measures the percentage that are more positive and negative, and assigns an overall fresh or rotten rating to the movie. Scores of over 60% are considered fresh, meaning it was good, you want to eat a fresh tomato, and scores of 59% and under are rotten, which means bad. So for Batman 1989, they received a tomato score of 72%, whereas Batman 2022 received a tomato score of 85%. As you can tell, both of these movies were slightly similar in success-wise, but Batman 2022 was better. You don't see a lot of movies receiving a score higher than 85. Next up, we will be comparing the Batmans as a whole. I'll be comparing the Michael Keaton from 1989 and Robert Pattinson from Batman 2022. Personally, to me, they're entirely different Batmans. What I mean by this is that Michael Keaton's portrayal of Bruce Wayne is more closer to the comics, whereas Robert Pattinson, to me, was a new type of Batman we've never seen before. From watching the movie, you can tell that he's different from the Batmans played throughout the years, but I would prefer Michael Keaton because he is more true to the source material. But that doesn't mean I don't like Robert Pattinson's. I still enjoyed his Batman. But for acting as Batman, Robert Pattinson was more of a detective and Michael Keaton was more of a fighter. Personally, I think when I watch a superhero movie, I enjoy the fight scenes. So watching Keaton was more satisfying than Pattinson, although he was still good. As for plot, if Batman 1989 were to release now, I would say that it wouldn't be as successful, but at its time of the release, I would say the plot was interesting, and it set the standard for most superhero movies. However, for Batman 2022, I would say the plot was refreshing to see, compared to all the Batmans made in the past 15 years. So that's what I find in similarity. Both are pretty interesting at its time. In conclusion, I would say both Batmans at its time were very successful in showing who the Dark Knight really is in different ways. What do you think? Thank you for watching this episode. I will see you guys next week.